Hi, my name is Richard Isaacson. I'm director of the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic at Weill Cornell Medicine and New York Presbyterian. In a recent profile on Medscape, there was a nice generic overview about the approach to the management of an Alzheimer's prevention patient. And in this article, it generated a lot of discussion, so I wanted to take a deeper dive into exactly what we do in the Alzheimer's Prevention Clinic and how any clinician may be able to approach reducing a person's risk for Alzheimer's disease and giving very specific targeted approaches. So in that profile, there's a picture of me going like this, and this really underscores how every piece of data when it comes to Alzheimer's prevention needs to be triangulated. So what does this mean? So the ABCs of Alzheimer's prevention are kind of like the three points of a triangle. A stands for anthropometrics, or body composition. B stands for blood biomarkers, and that can include genetics, it can include lipids, metabolism markers, nutritional markers, and inflammation. And the C stands for cognition, or cognitive measures. And the key take-home point with this is, in an effort to assess a person, just like you have the triangle and the three points, there's two ways of communication. So the patient sitting on one side gives the clinical history, and then once the doctor hears the clinical history and interprets the A, Bs, and Cs, only then can a physician then give back a personalized or precision medicine approach to Alzheimer's prevention. So the next couple of minutes, let's try to go into more detail. A, anthropometrics, or body composition. In body composition, we use a biometric scale. We look at percent body fat. We look at lean dry muscle mass. And in this sense, we can then understand not just if a person is overweight based on their BMI, but where the fat is and what we can do for a person to reduce that fat. And is it metabolically inactive fat? Problems with metabolism, increased insulin resistance. That's one way to fast forward the button on Alzheimer's disease and really increase amyloid deposition in the brain. So the B of the triangle is blood biomarkers. So general labs that we look at include lipids, we look at metabolism markers, inflammatory markers, and nutritional markers as well. We also look at genetics. When it comes to cholesterol, we want to optimize cholesterol. We want to look at metabolism. When it comes to hemoglobin A1C, fasting insulin, as well as fasting blood sugar, those are the things we want to make sure are in adequate control. Now, what is adequate for brain health? That's a little tricky. But when we can try to reduce metabolic and cardiovascular risk factors, that can, in our clinical experience, have a positive effect on brain health. When it comes to cholesterol biomarkers, increased cholesterol usually equals decreased executive function on an executive function task. When it comes to increased metabolic markers, that usually correlates with impaired memory function or suboptimal memory function on a cognitive task. So these are the types of focused target interventions we do in our clinic for Alzheimer's prevention and risk reduction. When it comes to nutritional markers, we look at omega-3 fatty acid levels. We look at a variety of other markers as well. And then finally, we do look at genetics. And I don't think most practitioners out there are ready to go down this road. However, APOE4 positive versus negative patients, those people may need different interventions. So that's our blood biomarker overview, although there's a lot more details that we can go into. When we talk about cognitive function, we in our clinic use computer-based testing. We use the NIH toolbox. Practically speaking, using computer-based testing may be more sensitive to a population that does not have cognitive decline. We also use more traditional measures like the Trails B and animal naming and the mini mental and paragraph recall. So we do use a variety of tools out there to try to A, set a baseline, and then B, try to really know where to intervene when it comes to risk overall. And then finally, we have to take into consideration what the patient tells you. And the clinical history is as important as any of these three points on the triangle. The clinical history starts with knowing where the person is from, understanding their demographic and background history, understanding their cognitive trajectory, where they were in high school, how did they perform, where did they go for college, and how was their GPA, what were their standardized test scores. This is a really helpful tidbit that we've learned in the program, where a increasing cognitive trajectory, meaning someone that improves over time, that person, that's an element of neurodevelopmental diversity, which may even predict a person's APOE4 status. So, for example, people who are born that have an APOE4 gene tend to have smaller brains, even in infancy. And, you know, we see that cognitive trajectory where if someone continues to improve through their life course, their academic trajectory is high, that person may be more likely to have an APOE4 gene. We then ask a variety of different questions about exercise patterns, how much cardio, how much weight training, sleep patterns, not just how many hours, but a variety of other detailed questions. Any changes over time? We ask about mood. We ask about cognitive activities. Do they play a musical instrument? Do they take adult education classes? And then finally, stress mitigation. We take all of this into consideration along with past medical history, current medications, which may either have a protective or harmful effect on brain health over time. And only then can we put together a comprehensive plan. Hopefully in the future, the book on Alzheimer's risk reduction and intervention will be written. Currently, I think we're only just about at the first chapter. But I do think that clinicians out there can make targeted interventions based on all of this data in an effort to, as evidence-based as possible, in an effort to reduce someone's risk based on the best available evidence. Thanks so much.